Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer. David Goss is here. Matt Doyle is here. Anders Aarhus might be here if we can convince him. Well, you read the title of the podcast, folks. Many of you noticed Extra Time has been gone for far, far longer than normal and for far too many big stories. This is it. This is the last pod. This is the goodbye show. And all of us, every last partner in soccer deserves this one. So, boys, before we get started, I'm just going to give you my outlook on this episode. One, I'm going to try not to cry. Two, let's treat this episode like the best kind of funeral. You know, like a celebration of life. 15 years of podcasting, friendship, community, bits ranging from the, the incredibly sharp to the incredibly stupid, and of course, a love of soccer and Major League Soccer. It is sad that it is over, but it was a hell of a run. So, what kind of funeral goer are you, Doyle? Where's your head at as we say goodbye to this illustrious soccer podcast?
I think we're all kind of the same type of funeral goer, which you're just very solemn. And yeah, no, that's the wake.
Oh, okay, the wake. Sorry, yeah. Sorry. I'm fast forwarding there. Right.
Yeah, come on, Doyle, the Shiva. Be there for me. Come on.
I am the drink too much and recall all the good memories possible type of wake attendee. Does that make sense?
I think I'd be there with you.
As a history nerd, I love the stories to get people telling stories. I'm also the person who's always like, oh, they're in a better place now. When it's like, oh, someone was sick or whatever. And then when they're not, that's my only line. So I just say it anyway. And it's like really awkward sometimes.
You're meeting eye to eye. You're like, you're both sort of like.
So is extra time in a better place not. Now?
Yeah, I think it might be.
It might.
Permanently in the sky, in the cloud, AKA in the group chat.
Well, yeah, that's true. We do have the group chat. You can never take the group chat from us. And you can't take SoccerWise, which is the only podcast that I listen to. So before we get going, do go subscribe to SoccerWise. Listen to the pod. I enjoy being an MVP subscriber, not solely because I can tell Tom and Dave or think I can tell them what they should or should not do in terms of content, but mostly because the Discord, which I still have not figured out how to turn off notifications for every message they're in. And I've had a ton of people reach out to me and say, I could teach you how to do that. And I say, actually, I'm just letting it fly here. I just want to see everything coming through, even if
Mindy
I don't
must
respond.
Love that. Mindy must absolutely love that.
Yeah, no, it's one of the true joys of her life. Me glancing at my phone, smiling and laughing, and her being like, "What?" And I'm like, "Oh, something you don't understand about something completely inane." Anyway, let's start this off by with a list of all the hosts and people that have been important
to
this show.
Are you going to put them in a best 11 format?
We could go best 11. We could snake draft this thing. You get four hosts and a producer. We could see which of us could put together the best possible ETR lineup of all time. I am 1,000% open to that. Let's start with the hosts, and let's start from the beginning. 2010 is when this bad boy started. So we made it 15 full years. It was Nick Furshaw, Greg Lawless, Simon Borg, and Jason Seguini. They started it around the 2010 World Cup, if I remember correctly. MLSsoccer.com had recently been rebranded from MLSnet to MLS Soccer. There was sort of a new vision for hashtag content in the MLS space. And that was the first group. And then I think it was, I was next in. Andrew Wiebe, then David Goss came in originally as a producer, then into the host chair. Matt Doyle, you joined after March to the Match. How were you at that funeral? Were you magnanimous? Did you gloat? Were you sad?
Furshaw and I went out for many beers, and I got way too drunk, and the car broke down. I remember that, and I was just like zero use to Nick at all. That was a good one. That was a good one. That was 10 years ago in Berkeley. That was
I could see Nick responding to that, and it's fun. It's fun for me. Kaylin Carr joined. Susanna Collins was a part of the pod as well. We miss her. Charlie Davies.
So we got Clint.
Clint.
We got Mo.
Mo. Charlie Davies.
Who's Charlie Davies?
Tell him who Charlie Davies is. Carrie.
I should have known. I should have known that Anders would have been quick on the ones and twos. Of course, we had Bobby Warshaw, who was a joy in the green room for so many years. Tom Bogert became a really important part of the show. Kaylin Kyle was around for just a little bit in 2023, and Stefano Fusaro was around with us as well, and we had a joy with Stefano, especially talking Miami with a Miami guy. And then there were some special ETR correspondents. Ben Bear, Oso, It's Lit. Nick Rossano, Rosie.
Baby.
Yeah, yeah. Sam Stashgull, he of the rumors. Paul Tenorio, always reports only from Paul. And then producers, crucially the producers. Dan Hayek was the original producer of Extra Time. Producing Anders joined. Anders Aarhus, who's still our producer. Maria Krios has joined in, and we will miss talking about Pumas in a public forum. Chris Caron really helped elevate the show when we went to YouTube. Mike Milberger was a part of that process as well. John Betton is a freaking legend, of Extra Time. Extra Time Live, both the version, Dave, where you and I went cavorting around the country somehow, some way they paid us to do that. And then also we had what was like the original MLS wrap-up show on what, on Facebook, I think? Facebook Live to start out? That was a time. It was a joy. Thomas Formoso and Galina Platova were big parts of that. Steve Kerr has always been huge for us in terms of just getting things organized and making sure the technical side is tip-top shape. And then Abner Aceves and Rich Hernandez played roles as well. Where are we at as we think through that list of people? Like, what stands out to you, Dave? I mean, you've been around with me basically this entire time. I think it's been more than a decade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think I started as a producer in 2013. I think right out of college, and then the whole time since then, at some point getting on the show as a voice. And I mean, a lot of memories. One, I would say, is that's a list of a lot of my good friends. Like, I feel really fortunate to have had this as a thing in my life where, you know, for a lot of us, I think MLS specifically is like, it's our hobby, it's our passion, it's our nerd space, and that's where you meet your friends as adults and as you move on. And so I was lucky enough to have like an assigned space to do that. And so to meet all of these people and still be close with all of them and you all, and I think we talk more when there are not MLS games than when there are MLS games now. Like, you guys are some of my closest friends. And so this is sort of that list to see it laid out. You're like, these are my group chats. These are my text messages. These are my Instagram messages. Like,
I've been to five different weddings with those people.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's the first thought. And as you go through the hosts, and obviously we're going to talk about the show as it goes along, but for me, this was a, you know, I had belief in myself coming out of school, but you're nervous and you're uncomfortable. And so to get feedback from some of these people and to be acknowledged and to be brought in to some of these spaces was a huge deal for me. And there's a lot of people on this list that helped me along my career and along my life and development and all of that. Simon is the GOAT to me. So when we do this draft, I'm going to take him one also because it'll fire Tom up if I don't take Tom. And I need Tom on edge at all time for my surprise content.
By the way, if you could get Simon and Tom into the same pod, like, obviously we never got that iteration, but sweet, sweet, good God. I don't even know how to deal with that.
Well, and then you throw the confounding factor that is Bobby Warshaw into that same
just questioning
pod as
everything.
Well.
I'm not sure that pod works. Like, I think it's almost too much. That's like brain breaking twice a week listening to that. I just feel like you'd be questioning your existence.
Tom would last 3 seconds. Tom's whole, what are we doing? What are we talking about? Would die. I'll tell this story. I say in the beginning of doing the show and, you know, just having sit downs with you and Simon and Nick when I first got on and like taking my opinion on things and valuing it to some extent was huge. But I learned from Simon, like, you never say anything offhand because you always get questioned. And Simon and Greg are both two that do this of like, you'd be like, I went to dinner last night. It was good. And they're like, what was good about it? Name top five things. Like, would I go? What would you sell me on? Why does it matter? And you're like, okay. Wasn't prepared for any of that. So I can't just say things anymore. You have to like always have a whole prepared plan, which for content, I think is a pretty good idea. And that was a huge learning experience for me.
I'll chime in on Simon. And I think I echo basically everything you say about feeling like, I'm starting to belong. I'm starting to you know, be a part of something bigger than myself. Like when Simon gave the okay for me to just be on the pod with him and Nick, and obviously Nick as well, after being a listener to the show, that felt like, I don't know, I can still feel that moment, like my mid-20s trying to figure out who I was, where I was going, what I cared about, what I was good at. That vote of confidence really helped like launch my life, not just in a professional way, but also in a personal way. When I moved to New York City, I felt like I was sort of reinventing myself as a whole. Like, who am I? What do I want to be? And just that was this huge moment for me. And then I think I would go to just when Simon walked away, Dave, when it was going to be, stay out of there. Stay out of the side chat. You can't be saying stuff like that. When Simon basically said, hey, it's your guys' show now,
yeah,
and did it so graciously after being sort of the custodian and also just the biggest personality on it for so many years, that vote of confidence was one I felt like I needed, because I felt like, and I don't know how you felt, like this immense responsibility to keep the show going and to keep it at a high level. And it felt like a lot of pressure. And when Simon said, hey, it's yours, go run with it, I mean, that was sort of the freedom that I felt like I think we needed to feel like it was truly ours.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when the first few times we were in that studio, I was the producer only. I didn't talk on the show. They called me David the Gasman Goss and referenced me. And yeah. I wasn't on the show. And I was like so excited to be in the room. I remember the first show I was on, there was a phone interview with Stu Holden, and I wasn't on the call. And I was texting like, I'm in a room that's on a phone call with Stu Holden. What is happening right now? And just like so hyped. And so then when Simon would ask me questions and I'd answer, and he'd be like, oh, really? Like, what makes you say that? And what do you think about this team and this player and this topic and all these things? And to go back and forth, and then for him to pull me into the show meant everything to me, because it meant that I deserved to be there, I thought. And he wouldn't have done it if he didn't think it was the right thing. And so that was, for me, the start of like, I hadn't really been out on the beat that much in MLS. I had just been a fan, really, watching from afar and like watching streaming and all that type of stuff. And so for him to tell me that I had a place, and then after all of that, when Doyle came in to battle with Doyle, iron sharpens iron, like you're the biggest in what we do. And so it was so nerve-wracking for me because I didn't know you that well. You were out in California. And so to be on the show with you every week and go back and forth, it was like solidifying my ideas and my thought processes. They were all huge moments for me. And yeah, when Simon stepped away, it changed the show, because the show for 2 years or whatever when I was on was just react to whatever comes out of 100%. Simon's mouth. And then it shifted to planning topics and ideas.
I remember being on interviews to go to the Stu Holden thing when I first started, and Nick is such an incredible interviewer, and he still does it to this day. I mean, the Paternal Pod is amazing, and then he still works in podcasting, but he just had a gift for connecting with people and asking questions. And Simon did too. And I remember thinking, okay, well, I'm a reporter, I want to ask questions. And I would like raise my, we sat in the same room, and I'd raise my hand and I'd be like, I have a question. And I remember early on Nick and Simon being like, oh, no. You know, kind of like, we're still going here, buddy. Like, you just wait your turn. And when it got to the point where when I raised my hand and they trusted that I would ask a good question, that was another point of just within my professional life of feeling like a little bit settled and a little bit of confidence and feeling like, you know, you can push forward. And that, man, it, you know, thinking back on those times, it's been more than a decade now, but it really does mean a ton. What hosts are you thinking about, Doyle, when you think back on the history of Extra Time?
I mean, mostly you guys. Just, you know, it's been you two, and then eventually, you know, Tom and Kalen a lot, and of course, Bobby for a bunch at the start, who I've worked with the most. And, you know, coming into this show, I never really wanted to do a podcast like this. I had March to the Match, which I really loved, which was just very dry and very technical. Like, okay, let's talk about, you know, the ins and outs of how the 4-3-3 single pivot works against this 3-5-2, because, you know, obviously that's the thing that is going to get tens of thousands of listeners. So coming from that into this, I was grateful that I never felt like you guys were pushing me to be the new Simon or asking me to do stuff that I couldn't do. That made it really, really easy for me to make that adjustment. And so when I think of ETR, I think of that. And I think that the strength that we ended up developing, that was around what, 2016 or so?
Somewhere around there, yep.
Made it increasingly easy to just integrate new people into it, because there was this sense of camaraderie and understanding of what our strong suits are. And really good field awareness and understanding how to accentuate the strengths of each other. I never took it for granted. I never will. I think it made me a better writer. I think it made me sharper in how I watch and think about the game. And it made me better understand friendship and social interaction. Honestly, like not even joking a little bit. But unquestionably, the most talented person I've ever worked with in my entire life is Nick Kershaw. And the best the show ever was were the Kershaw, Simon, and Weeby, and the Kershaw, Simon, and Lawless group. Like, Nick, you know, go listen to Paternal Podcast. He, as Weeby said, is, like, he's a Terry Gross level interviewer of people, and he gets them to tell stories and open up in ways that is really, really special. And I think we need stories. I think we need stories badly in our league. And I hope that we're able to continue telling them on our various platforms. And just to, so it's clear, Weeby and I are still with MLS. We are going to have.
That's a good point.
You know, I'm still writing, and there's some other stuff in the works. Weeby is still. You're going to see him on season pass. So
yeah,
like,
we'll talk about that
not,
later.
This is not 100% goodbye. It's just sad that extra time is ending.
Yeah, we're putting a body in the ground. You yeah, know, it just happens to be a podcast. I will throw out first of all on Nick. I completely agree, and I remember trying to come up with like an opening tagline for the show because I felt like "Greetings, greetings, and welcome" was just so iconic in the way that he said it and delivered it, and my experience as a listener, the show just revolved around that phrase, and it felt like that was a door opening for me every time I heard it. Yeah, Nick was my overall, I would just say, biggest mentor at MLS. He really welcomed me into the fold and helped me get comfortable and find a track and keep moving on it. And I still stay in touch with him regularly to this day. And thankful for him. Thankful for Bobby and Kalen, too. I would throw those two names in because I thought they brought something a little bit different that we hadn't had, which is a player perspective. You know, I think one of the strengths of the show actually
Did you play?
No, it's a good hey, look, the Brooke Hatton center back days till my ankles got blown were pretty good, you know. Okay, but I thought they brought a different perspective, but I thought they brought it without, I don't know, without lording it over people.
Yeah.
That they were high level participants in the game, which both obviously were. Bobby is just a thought experiment, man. Like, you know, I don't know how to describe it other than that. I have vivid memories of being in the green room, which was the green room at the old studios we had in Midtown Manhattan, and Bobby's watching a Champions League game while we're doing the podcast, and I don't think he's paying any attention at all. And then he just drops a thermonuclear take, and it's just like, I don't know how to react. I don't know what
to do. A thermonuclear take on Will Trapp's half turn.
Exactly.
I'm 2.5 weeks ago in one U.S. Open Cup game.
Stop it, Kudu Pietro. What a goal.
Yes. I mean, he made the show so fun to do because you just didn't know what was coming. But you knew it was going to be extremely well thought out. You knew he had been, you know, laboring on this thought for weeks or days or whatever, and it just felt like that was the time to throw it in, and you always had to be prepared. And then I just think Kalen's one of the best people I know. He's one of the low-key, most incredibly hilarious people I know.
Mm-hmm.
He's the sort of person that I love talking about soccer with, but even more than that, I like to just sit down and have a beer and just talk about life, about any random news story you might have seen, about family, about anything. I just think Kalen is one of those people that is great company. And I always felt like that's what this podcast was, at least for me, which is great company.
I actually felt like my best moments of talking soccer on this show were when Kalen and I were triangulating. Because it was never like, Kalen was never going to be like Simon, where he was going to argue directly at you. He's always like, okay. And then like he would sort of offer his perspective. And I felt like it took me maybe a month of working with Kalen to realize that like, oh, we kind of see the game the same way, but we come from like vastly different spaces. And that when I think of like my best segments, I think that I think that Kalen was involved in a disproportionate number of them because of that.
Thanks, Tom. I mean, you know, we appreciate you too, my dog. Who? Anyway, yeah, what? Let's keep it moving here. And I guess we've already done a little bit of this, and I'll get us started again. I just have these topics, and we'll kind of run through them and see where we go. The first one is just kind of what did the show mean to you, and to say our thank yous. I think that's the most important thing off the top as we put a bow on this. I'll just say it's been a joy and a privilege, just in terms of time spent, to know that every Monday and Thursday I was going to sit down with like my best friends in the world and talk about life and soccer for 4 hours. And I say 4 hours because, my God, did we waste so much time in pre-show meetings. Like, that was the true joy of this show at times, was just sitting down and running through all manner of random topics, including soccer, sometimes not soccer, before we even turned record on. And I'll cherish those hours. And to get paid for it, oh, my God. Like, we are so lucky, and lucky it lasted this long. For me, I feel like this show, Extra Time, was just this outlet that I didn't have in my day-to-day life. Like, I'm not walking around the world meeting people that are as obsessed with MLS as I am. So to have a moment where I knew I was going to get to empty the tank, where all these thoughts and you know, things I saw or liked or wanted to talk about were going to get aired out was just amazing. I mean, I started this as a listener. I remember being an office worker in Kansas City and finding the show in 2010, and I found it after it started. And I mean, I listened to every episode. Like, I listened to the entire backlog of the show, non-timely shows, shows that, you know, this is not a podcast that's like narrative driven. It's timely. It's news. We talk about it. I listened to shows that were like 5-6 months old just because I loved listening to that original crew talk about
Simon the game. Simon was hilarious. Yeah, that's why the whole Simon thing was absolutely hilarious.
Him and Jason yelling at each other, always class, like Greg challenging them on the show, and then living that once I moved to New York City and joined MLS soccer. You know, I'm thankful to have joined the show. And again, just to reiterate, like Nick, Simon, Greg, and Jason as mentors and friends, like that is such a huge part of my life. And then Nick and Simon for guiding me after they brought me on. A big thank you to every host and producer. I mean, God, we put so much time and effort and energy into this thing. It was a labor of love and teamwork. And I think to your point, Doyle, I feel like it was a boot camp for me, like for being a better host, for certainly being a better analyst. I felt like if I came to this show with, you know, weak takes, I was just going to get run out. It was going to be obvious that I'm just not doing the work or didn't know what I was talking about. And every show on Extra Time I've done has made being on season pass at times feel easy, because we would air it out for an hour and a half, and we would talk about things that were so deep in the weeds, things that you'll never get to on a normal studio show on television. So, you know, everything I do for the rest of my life, I feel like is going to be imprinted with stuff I learned here. And then my biggest thank yous, I'd say, number one, to Anders for all the work behind the scenes to herd us, we cats that don't go where you want us to go, to keep the show on track, to try to get me to follow time cues.
Even when he put an audible buzzer on air, you'd still blow through it. And he had to deal with that from a blood pressure point of view for so many years.
You know, hey, buzzers are, you can interpret those different ways. It's all interpreted. Yeah. But number one, I think to Anders, thank you for your enthusiasm, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for just always being like about it, for being excited, for having opinions and takes and directions you wanted to go.
So many people in this business say no, and Anders says, yeah, let's figure out how to do it.
And then also his takes, which nobody ever got to hear but us. And he has some piping hot takes, and they make us cackle and still do in the group chat. So thank you to Anders for everything. And then thank you to everybody for listening. None of this happens without thousands and thousands of you who cared enough about MLS and what we had to say about it to tune in twice a week for literal hours of your lives. Like days, months. I didn't do the math this time, but if I had to guess, my guess is we probably produced 2 or 3 full months, 24-hour days worth of MLS content over 15 years. That might be, I don't know, with Extra Time Live, that might actually not be enough, but there's some of you that have been there for almost all of it. I mean, you gave us your life, basically, and nothing brought me greater joy than being at games or at the airport, or like one time I was hiking in New Jersey and somebody said, I recognize your voice. I listened to Extra Time. When people said, what's up? When they pushed me on a take I had or gave their own. That was like the highlight of all of this. And yes, it also made my wife think that this wasn't just some dumb thing that I did in the basement. But it also reminded me that the pod was much bigger than some dumb thing that we did in our basement. So, look, I listen to podcasts. I know how I feel about those pods. I'm so thankful to accompany all of you on commutes, during chores, and all manner of things in your life. We don't take that time for granted. And I hope some of this brought you some joy. Anders, right. that's a true story. I'm telling you, Anders. You can ask Mindy about that.
Wasn't one of the nurses when Cam was
correct.
Born an ETR
Cameron's
fan?
Cameron's delivery nurse was an ETR listener as well, which is a story I'd forgotten about. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And she didn't say anything until after what was not a particularly easy birth, but wasn't a worrisome birth. And afterwards she said, "Hey, I just gotta say, big I really like the pod." Yes. Yeah. That was a big moment for me. I was like, first time dad, you know, like everything's good, wife is healthy and okay, baby's great, and here we go. Mindy is probably rolling her eyes wherever she is right now. Just even the thought of that being remembered. What about you, Doyle? What are you thankful for, man?
I'm thankful for all of it. I think you covered, I think, most of it. I want to say that I'm proud of the work. I'm really proud of coming in a couple times a week, just completely prepared to go in any direction about anything in this league or U.S. soccer as a whole, and just working with people who felt the same way for a solid decade. And we've all had bad days, I think. I know for a fact I have. Like, we've all had shows where we sucked, but then we all sort of picked each other up after a bad performance, and it never lingered, right? There was never any recriminations. It was always, we got you. And I never took that for granted. And I always tried to pay it back and make sure that if one of you guys had not your best performance, that I would step it up and try to do a little bit more. And afterwards, to make sure that you guys understood, hey, it's okay. And we go again on Thursday. We go again on Monday. And that meant a lot to me, that type of environment where it doesn't stop because you're having a bad one, where it doesn't make everything toxic, where you're able to say, okay, you know what, it happens, and we're all going to be prepared next time, and it'll be a better show. And I don't think that's entirely usual. And and when there were bad shows, bad performances, never affected anything off the field, so to speak. And that means a ton to me. It really does.
And you're here.
Yeah. So it makes it hard to say goodbye to that. But so it goes.
I would say for me, I have thankful and proud, but I think for thankful, you mentioned Anders, for all that he's done, for the energy he brings. Like, you talk about the meetings. First 30 minutes was the Anders show of like, here's takes, here's thoughts, here's ideas. And it always made it easier for us to do what we did because we had more minds like working on this and caring about this and passionate about this. And also taking the editing and producing off my plate. Like, I remember the day Jurgen Klinsmann left Landon Donovan off the 2014 World Cup roster. It was like 9 p.m. Eastern time or 8 p.m. Eastern time. And I just finished editing the show we did that day. And all of a sudden, I was supposed to go on vacation that night. Like, I was supposed to leave the city because it was Thursday. And I had like was doing a trip. And we got back in the room and we recorded. And I edited it. And something tech-wise went wrong. I think I left at like 1:32 in the morning. And I was stoked because I felt like I was in the middle of the hurricane. And like, where else would I want to be? And I was going to get to talk about this thing and sort of bring some of the fans' pain and whatever, or excitement, whichever way he went with that, to light. But like, it was a lot of work. And so when Anders took that off my plate, it was great. And it was different for me. And it was a shift. But obviously thankful for everything he's done, and Galina and Thomas as well behind the scenes, just making it all work. Eric as well. And you, Weeby, you're my mentor. Like, you say that about Nick, but like, I came in, I had no work experience. You showed me how to move around in an organization, how to like understand what people were saying to you and what it meant for your future and what you could do and what you couldn't do. And I'm building something now sort of on my own, but in the light of like what you built here and trying to recreate it and use all the learnings that you gave me. And it's hard in this industry. It's hard in any industry but I always felt safe knowing that you had my back. And like, I ended up going to all these amazing experiences in all these places because you fought for me to be there and fought for us to be there. And I slept on the floor and got my way to Columbus in 2015. And we did a podcast at 7 a.m. before we left. That was me going on my own, not knowing like what there would be. And you made sure that I was there after that and that you'd fight for me to come to Super Drafts and MLS Cups and All-Star Games and all these other things and put me on platforms that maybe I didn't deserve at the time, or maybe I did, but definitely wasn't capable of getting myself there. So I know everything you say about Nick, that's how I feel about you, even though I was more mature than you in many ways in some of these things and some of these moments, but I can accept where I wasn't. And you're one of my best friends, and I always appreciated having you in my corner, and it was always a huge deal for me because, you know, I think a lot of times, especially with this show being remote and out there, you mentioned when fans come and see you, but other times you're just out in the ether and you're just operating. So to have feedback from you and be able to dump on you before shows and you're like, these are good ideas, these aren't, leave these, take these, it was started to create my own thought process. So always thankful to you for what you did for me and sort of the opportunities you created for me.
Know who has the over on total number of cries. Thankfully, we put some time between us and the final show, so I'm feeling a little bit more settled than I might have been like early part of January here. In response to that, I just say I'm so thankful to share it with you, man, because that's how I felt. I felt like we were just sharing this incredible experience. When I think of things that we shared, I think of in particular one that stands out to me, and I still have that photo from Brazil and Sao Paulo, and I don't know if it's complete BS, but maybe the bar owners were yanking our chains. They said it was Socrates, like, local pub. I remember being there with you and Nick and just feeling like, man, this is the pinnacle. Like, this is it, man. Like, I don't know how my life could get better than being with my friends at the World Cup in Brazil, covering the US, and drinking a beer at a place where this legend of life in the game was at. And you know, if there's something I'll never forgive you for, it's definitely scheduling your wedding in like a 3-week notice when I had two small children, but you'll leave that one for a different day.
It was better for everyone. I didn't have enough tissues.
I know, it was
cleaner that way.
I know. I'm proud that we stayed true to ourselves. I think the original show was that, and I think that was one thing that we always tried to carry on. Like, we love this sport, this league. We love each other. I think that always came through. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the analysis, sure, but I'm really proud that we didn't just stick to soccer, that we didn't just pretend like this show was a bubble and the only thing that mattered was a ball getting kicked around on a field by 22 folks, like that we didn't hide ourselves in what we really care about in life, whether that was, you know, the relationships in our lives, the, you know, hey, becoming a father twice, the pandemic.
Oh, are you a dad? Together.
You know, I think I am. Yeah, I think we'll have a whole segment on that later. You know, gun violence, when Alejandro Bedoya, in particular in the league, sort of called that out and it was a big issue, how we talked about that, how we shed tears together in a public space. I don't think that's common. And it's something that I really value in my life is just not hiding like your emotions. I thought maybe one of our best shows of all time was you, me, and Charlie, Dave, 2020. After the boycott, the MLS players boycott, when six players trusted Extra Time to be the platform where they talked about the how, the what, and the why of that moment for them as people and as players. Kai Kamara, Mark Anthony Kay, Ryan Hollingshead, Earl Edwards Jr., Jahlil Anibaba, and Steph Fry. That is one of my most proud moments as a person. It's not the show itself, of just being a place where those people felt comfortable, where that they could go there and say what they really felt they needed to say. I'm proud of the work, no doubt, and I'm proud to have done it with you.
Yeah, and I would add to that, I would say for me, one of the things I always wanted to do with this show, and you guys always allowed it and I always appreciate that, was like, I think people put so much energy into this, they should feel acknowledged, and you can't do it one-to-one, but like the joke about me being an honorary Canadian was like the fans of Montreal, Vancouver, Toronto, Canada, like throughout, deserve to be discussed and feel equal. And I know I was in Columbus for All-Star last week, and I had a few people come up and say like, hey man, you don't talk about us like a flyover city. Like, you respect so many parts of this, of people in this community and this league and this fan base. And that was always like a huge deal for me, was I think that people put energy in this and deserve to be acknowledged, not one-to-one, but like, yeah, you're going to go out and watch the Colorado Rapids, then I'm going to watch the Colorado Rapids so I can talk about it and we can have a discussion. Do all of the ownership groups maybe equal that to the commitment I do? Maybe not. And that part I can't control, so therefore I can't always discuss every team. And it got harder and harder every year with each expansion team and each push. But I think for me, that was a huge point of pride, was to make sure that every fan base in this league felt like they got covered and that they were paid attention to and that someone was there to engage with them. And I think that's what I felt when we went out. I still remember, and I told this story last week to someone, like when we did the event in Seattle ahead of the CCL final, which was such a huge deal to me. Like CCL was a huge part of me getting into MLS, of like MLS versus these other leagues and US soccer and Canadian soccer and all these things. That we had that event and I thought 25 people were going to show up and like 200 showed up. And we did it in Minnesota, all Canada on the brain. We did it in Columbus. We did it in Orlando as well. And like anytime anyone comes up and says anything to you, it just, it makes you feel like it matters a little bit more and it makes you feel connected to it. And I would finish with this one thing, which is when COVID started, we started the show remote. I was sitting with you like the day the world shut down.
Yeah,
and
I remember the moment.
You threw a six pack in my hands that was in the office. You're like, bring these home. You might need them. And they probably went in about 2 minutes. But I said, like, if anyone feels lonely, we're here for you. And we're going to keep doing this show because we want everyone to feel connected still, right? Soccer, especially in this country, it's so much about the culture of community and supporter sections and all of that. And people were losing that. And I got a lot of messages, not enough that I responded to, because as you both know, I don't respond to anything anywhere. I am the worst texter.
Not your strength,
and,
no.
And not my strength, not my strong suit, but the ones I did. And he's going to kill me if I say this, so I'm not going to say any names or place. But the famous story at CCL where Andrew Wiebe got overexcited about his champagne, that bottle came in a case of wine and champagne that was given to us by a fan who was like, I needed something twice a week, to and from work, at home with my kids going wild. Like, I turned this show on and you were there for me. And I was like, okay, how much do you want? He's like, no, it's yours. Like, please don't plug me. Don't mention me anything, which I'm now doing. So sorry. But like, thank you for being there. Thank you for what you've said. You talked about it, Wiebe. Thank you for entering into these topics that are affecting all of us and giving us a place to sort of air our grievances and be. And it was just like a huge honor. And so then for it to turn around and end up being the greatest GIF of all time and Andrew Wiebe's pinnacle moment on the face of this earth is pretty perfect.
Wow, yeah, there was a climax to that, you could say. Doyle, let's do a best thing. Let's do a best thing. And I think those are some good best things to get us started. Doyle, what's the best thing, your favorite ETR memories?
I mean, that GIF. That GIF is never going to be topped, but
I look forward to the day of trying to explain to my sons what that is and how that happened.
I'm going to bring it back to the pandemic as well that Dave just mentioned. I mean, one thing that bothers me is that as a league, as a fan, as fans of this league, we don't really celebrate our history enough. It's almost we want to apologize for it. In this weird way, and like I was born into a baseball and basketball family and some football, and you know, everybody watched NFL films growing up, and I remember sort of as a kid sort of falling into what felt like a giant endless pool of history in all of those sports where everything was remembered, and because of that, everything that was happening in current day baseball or basketball or football was contextualized and you felt that connection. And the pandemic, which horrible, but like it gave us a chance to do that for MLS. We did those Mount Rushmore shows for every team. And I don't just think they were excellent shows. I thought they're essential to learn the history of this league. And you need stories to be a league that people care about, and we got a chance to tell those stories for like 5-6 straight months, and I thought we did a really good job with it, and it was not an easy job to do, but I remain really, really proud of that, and that's from a horrible time, it's like one of my favorite memories. And then of course Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat cold open Shout out Susanna Collins, Susanna Fuller now, but like that was shout out of nowhere
to Chris Caron as well for getting us started on those cold opens. Those cold opens were like you would have had to watch us on YouTube in what, the like 2018-19 early 2020 zone when we did those. Those were just so much fun. I'll just echo you, Dave, on the Seattle for CCL final week. That was to me like perfection in every way of, you know, the bar. We had like $1,500, $2,000. We had somehow convinced MLS to let us put on a bar tab. And we're like, okay, well, we're not going to do a show. But we're going to invite people to this neighborhood bar and let's see who shows up. And the place is just packed out and we're not doing a show. We're just standing around talking and you know, reminiscing and talking about what the week means to the Sounders and to the league at large and all these painful moments before and just laughing and having this moment of community. And, you know, nobody enjoys that more than Kalen Carr to really just be there and mingle with, you know, the people on the ground. That's just sort of his thing. And I remember a photo. We're walking up to the stadium before pregame and it's packed. Everybody's around. I have a photo of you, me, Dave, and Kalen with two random fans. I don't know who they are, but it's like one of these photos that I have saved in my personal files that I'll always go back and look at. And our faces, you know, we didn't know they were going to win, but our faces are just like exploding with happiness. And it just reminds me of what was just a really, really formative moment I felt for all of us and for the show at large. Other ones that stand out, Bobby's near-death experience on a hotel room floor in Atlanta in 2018. I mean, this dude was dead, like unable to function. But soldiered
through.
Somehow, that was amazing. I mean, the 2017 U.S. Open Cup, I don't know if you remember that trip to Kansas City. We got a big house in Hyde Park, and it was us and like the entire social team at MLS came along. We had like 10 people in this house, and we saw Kansas City win. We did an Extra Time Live afterwards, post-game show.
I danced with Latif,
yeah, and then we got... We got a bottle for a brown liquor special and some pizzas, and we went back to the house and just, you know, sat around and talked about the game. And like, those are some of my favorite times of being in market in a hotel room in some Airbnb someplace, sitting down, having a meal together, and just sort of reminiscing on what we experienced and saw together. Those are the things that I will remember for a long, long time. And then Extra Time Live. Remember that week we went like six different cities in a week with John Benton?
Yeah.
Everywhere. And the LAFC episode also of that show really stands out. Again, we were dancing with the fans outside of LAFC's home opener, but just so many sort of bucket list, how did we end up here moments that I'll be thankful for a really long time.
Dave, let me add one more. 2017 Gold Cup. You, I think, were out covering it. And so I was hosting a lot. I don't know what the name of it was. I think it was like Extra Time Club and Country or Club and Country, whatever it was. Yeah. But it was like one of the real moments for me where I was like, I get to talk about this thing I'm so passionate about all the time. And we had Ziggy Schmidt on, and Ziggy is one of the greatest coaches in the history of this country. And he, again, one of those moments where I would say things and he'd go, oh, interesting. And like take them, and he would debate me or tell me why I was wrong. But like to have Ziggy Schmidt care about what I said and like it mattered and have conversations about soccer. And I remember sitting at the my favorite day of every 2 years, which is the Red Bull Arena doubleheader non-US Mexico group Gold Cup, which is normally Costa Rica and Honduras and El Salvador and whoever it is. And I went and watched that doubleheader with Ziggy, and he's telling me about when Brian Ruiz came in on trial at Columbus before he went to Europe and how they tried to get him. And you're like, this is his life. And I'm sitting here having this conversation. It was absolutely incredible. And, it wasn't full, but off the back of Cuba the year before, to be back on the same set and have like a happier moment to discuss and talk about. And I think Bobby held up some dumb Stanford sign because Jordan Morris scored and whatever else happened. But Doyle, I think you remember, like we were in there. I was sweating because there was no AC in that room, most of it. And we were just talking about soccer and talking about the national team, which is the thing that really like spurred my love of the game and really got me from a thing I knew about to a thing I was passionate about and cared about. It was just so exciting. It was so special. And so that entire tournament, and I tell Kurt this every time I see him, of like how Ziggy to me is just one of the legends, and anyone who played for him or was around him feels the same. It's why people followed him from club to club and opportunity to opportunity. It was just such a huge moment for me, and it was just so much fun to care about soccer. And Charlie, I think, came in around the same time, and to be with Charlie Davies and like talk about soccer and all these things. And he'd come off the train after an early morning and have the most energy of anyone in the room. And again, like we talked about with Anders, just to pick us up sometimes and be like, we are passionate about this, we do care about this, was so huge. And that all happened kind of around the same time. And those, on top of everything you said, of going out on site and being meeting fans and being around the games, being there in person, like those were some of the huge moments that I'll think back on.
Let me tell a good Charlie story. And it goes back to your story about thank God you didn't have to do the producing anymore. Do you remember this one? We did like a 45-minute interview with Charlie Davies as he's recovering. You know, I think it was a couple of years later, maybe. It was when he was with DC. He had done the VW car celebration, et cetera. We did a long interview with him all about his journey and the hardship and everything he's gone through. And it was just like, it was one of those interviews where you hang the phone up and you look at each other and you're like, oh my God. Like, one, it was incredible to be a part of that conversation personally, but that's so powerful. And then we checked the card. File corrupted.
Yeah.
We lost the entire 45 minutes. Charlie poured his freaking soul out to us. And you know what we did? We called Charlie back and we said, Charlie, I hate to ask you this, man. Can you do that again? Charlie freaking Davies did the whole thing again. Like, yeah, I don't think there's very many people in the world that would even pick that phone up in that moment, let alone agree to do that all again, thanks to a screw up on our part. And he did it. And he did it. Charlie is, he's just that type of guy, that type of guy. Anything before we get to our best bits and get out of here? I mean, I think it wouldn't be an extra time if we didn't go through some bits. What do you guys think?
Anything? No, I've got 7,000 written down. So
I'll just say thank you to the guests. I think that's probably a good one to kind of finish on the thank yous. Like, we've had so many great guests on the show over the years, from basically every USMNT manager to the biggest stars of the league, the biggest coaches in the league, executives. We've been blessed to have anybody who was anybody in an MLS sense and a US soccer sense basically come on this show and share their thoughts and talk. So a big thank you to all of those people for doing that. And a huge thank you to the PR directors.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
Organizing that and for making extra time a place where they felt like their time and their people's time was worthwhile.
Yeah, it's not possible without those PR people. And I know a lot of them are listeners and fans of the league and fans of the teams they work for. And that's always a really cool connection to have. But they made it possible for us to do this. And it was before really that there was remote stuff. Like, when we started doing that, we had to buy a piece of equipment that had a phone built into the soundboard so that we could call. Then we moved it over to Skype. And it was like not always the simplest setup, and it was not always the most orthodox. And so many of them helped us, and I really appreciate that. And I hope you feel that when I say thank you every time. I'm not just saying it, like, I genuinely mean it. And it made it possible for us to bring, I think, some really cool stories to light.
All right, I'll just say,
go ahead,
really quick. We haven't talked about him enough. Greg Lawless is the one who made all of this possible.
I agree.
I can't talk about Greg or I will go over on the number of cries that we had booked for me. So
I can do a quick Greg one. I wouldn't be here without him. I remember the day that he called me. I was a freelancer for MLSsoccer.com covering Wizards and then Sporting Kansas City. And I remember I was at my day job, entry-level day job out of school. And he called me and he said, how do you feel about moving to New York City? And I said, I mean, that I don't know how to feel about something like that. But Greg hired me, gave me an opportunity, and then was always both encouraging me, but to your point, Dave, challenging me. And I think the challenging part is what I needed the most sometimes, was to be asked, how do you do it better? How do you hone that idea a little bit more? He never took anything face value. And I think that's just such an important quality to have, to just think, okay, well, what's one level deeper on that? Or how do we elevate that a little bit more, or change that, or hone that? And I think a lot of the habits that I have in terms of this show and just life in general, are in part sort of chiseled by him chiseling away at some of the things that I pitched in meetings.
And also just setting the culture of like, yeah, let's make that work. Let's try to figure out
and hard
how to
work.
Make that happen.
And hard work, like him, Nick, Jonah, Jason,
David Grell.
Yeah, David Grell, Simon, like, boy, the work done in those early days as we built MLS soccer, that was something to try to personify. All right, best ETR bits. Let's start at the beginning. I'm going to throw the jam spoon out there. Simon's jam spoon. What a joy. It has one particular spoon. If I remember right, I think it has a long neck to reach into the bottom of the jar. But that became a thing. And then anything Malta with Simon Borg. I remember him catching the stories of him catching birds with his father, not really wanting to know what happened to those birds after they were caught.
I think he tripped a kid into a puddle one time while playing soccer, and like that was a whole story. Yeah.
There was a wake in his building that he was unable to deal with, if I remember correctly, as well. Just anything, Simon, personal stories from those days. I remember Nick and I used to, before we came into the studio, be like, what can we get out of him? Like, what can we ask him that can get something funny? Those were great bits for me.
I think it was Simon hanging out the side of a Queens apartment window in his white t-shirt screaming because there was a noise that was happening from a bird had this like image of like Bronx Tale style Simon just screaming out a window at 3 a.m and I think I cried that show for sure.
There was a movie about wolves. I don't know if you remember this. Mm-hmm. Then there was a bit about wolves versus crabs and who would win that Simon was heavily involved in. Also, Jason V. Simon in the early days.
Yeah.
Like those guys just yelling at each other on the pod when I was a listener. That really sticks out to me as well.
One of the craziest experiences for me was I was a listener. That's how I got the job. Nick, one time, I vividly remember where I was trying to illegally park my car in a residential spot in Boston because I refused to switch my plates over because I'm a New Yorker and that city can get bent, whatever term you want to use. I vividly remember like hearing Nick say, like, we're looking for a producer. And I applied and came in. No one looked like what I thought they'd look like, but they all looked like a different one. Like, if you had asked me, I would have put Simon's voice on Greg's body. And I would have put Jason and Greg swapped as well. And so I got in there and it's like, as they spoke, I was like confused because I thought the voice was going to come out of the left side and it came out of the right side. It was like such a disorienting experience.
Oh, give us some bits, Doyle. What do you got?
The Brown Liquor special. Obviously, that was, I think I kind of brought that to the show when we were... I mean, really just dealing with the dark days of Kuva. And the aftermath of that, I think that's when Brown Liquor Special started to become a thing. The Gauss Theorem, who will, you know, like that's something that has expanded beyond the show. And like I write about it in my columns. People reference it on other, like I think I've heard the Total Soccer Guys, the Total Soccer Show guys talk about the Gauss Theorem. Our friends at Cooligans have talked about it as well. I remember Dave and Simon wrestling for a cake pop. It was a long time ago.
I have the YouTube. It's on YouTube. I'll send it out.
I hate it so much.
Back when Dave had hair. So
yeah, barely. I think that's what Simon was really fighting me about.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Bobby's Anyone Can Play Left Back, which was about Yamil Assad. And to be fair to Bobby,
Unreal.
Yamil Assad just had an incredible year playing as a left wing back.
As Anders would say, you never take the L.
Never take the L.
I will say a Bobby one is the Shakhtar Donetsk moment.
Almost broke the show. I think that one was the closest. And I just remember the like flood of messages from people around the world who like had been around MLS and heard it being like, what are you talking about?
The concept was that Shakhtar Donetsk was like that there are a bunch of teams better than Shakhtar. Was that
So first of all, you guys are misremembering because that was my take.
Was it your take?
My take, this was in 2018 or 19, and it was that Shakhtar Donetsk would not necessarily come into MLS and just run the league.
Right.
Like it would not be a guarantee. And like if you look at the level of players who have transferred in from the Ukrainian league to MLS over the past 7 years, I feel completely vindicated.
Fair enough.
Taking the L until MLS Uber League created and Shakhtar has to play MLS teams in serious competitions. Doyle doesn't have to take the L on that one.
Every Champo team starts with a B. That's a recent one, but a goodie. I would throw out just the extra time awards. And doing the Extra Time Awards shows in t-shirt tuxedos.
Yeah.
Always a joy. And making sure that we were giving credit to the people around MLS that never get credit, the outside backs, the defensive midfielders, That was really fun to ideate and do. And then the Golden Boot draft has always been, for as long as we've had it, which is like, what, four years now, maybe? Something like that?
Yeah, I think I've won all four.
No, I won the first one.
That doesn't sound right to me.
That sounds completely right. That sounds completely right.
But I've probably won the last two.
You've got to win in there.
You yeah. drafted Messi mid-season on one before he was in the league so you could win the next year as a tank. And yeah. then you've won since then.
Goss is the Makaleli of ETR. That's always been a good bit.
Yeah. I texted you when we said we were going to do this last show. I told you Doyle already made me cry calling me Makaleli, so I wasn't going to do it again. But I would come on the show. So that's where I stand.
So I realized earlier when we were talking about Anders that if Dave is the Makaleli of ETR, Anders is the Busquets. Because you know the saying, if you watch the game, you never see Busquets, but if you watch Busquets, you see the whole game. That's Anders. If you listen to the show, you never hear Anders. But if you listen to Anders, you'll hear this whole show.
This is football heritage.
You know, speaking of football heritage, a name I think that one is well said. Just an incredible pull by you off the top. I was going to throw out, just based on Makaleli, I was thinking the Chelsea days, I was thinking like Michael Essien, just in the sense that Anders has a banger in him, and you don't know when it's coming, yeah. and you're telling him not to shoot from that spot, and then it's in the top corner.
I'm just glad, as Doyle started that ramp up, I was worried we were getting a John Terry in here, and I didn't know how Anders was going to handle it.
Oh, man. Another good bit, we said it, ignoring Anders' time cues, just for fun. The idea of producing Anders... period, producent being producer in Swedish, though Anders yeah. is a proud Norwegian. That yeah. also always good.
Which I had to Google, and it's like, it's pretty much the word producer. It's not that hard to get to.
Yeah, it's basically the
and
same.
And I was
it's
so proud
just the
of
idea.
It.
Also, the cookies that we survived on for many years yeah. in the old studio, thanks to Anders' mother, who has always taken just incredibly good care of us. It's not a bit, but it kind of is a bit. Kaylin spent years trying to find an orca / whale on MLS content expeditions. And Dave, you and I went with Anders and his father to Seattle once and saw like 8 whales within 10 feet of us.
Yeah.
So that's always
within
been a
10
a fun
feet
one.
Of us pulling out of the dock, too. The boat didn't even ever get yeah. the motor on fully because we never went anywhere. I just watched the videos because someone asked me if I wanted to go fishing last week. And I was like, I've been fishing one time, but we never took the rod out because we didn't need to, because the moment we got out we just saw like 15 whales, and Kaylin has tried to like make his life about finding whales and he couldn't. Can I do my list now?
How about just two more on Kaylin? One, the Nicholas Bentner stories. Two, everything coming back to Qua, always about Cuauhtemoc Blanco, which I appreciate. That's some good yeah. stuff.
And then, I will assure our listeners that the best Bentner and Qua stories never made it to the air. But they have made it to the group chat, and they are
and then
incredible.
Also trolling Kaylin about the cars that he drove as a young MLS player and the cars and lifestyle we see on Instagram as we report on current MLS players.
If you have a former MLS player in your life, twice a year the yep. MLSPA releases current salary info. On those days, please reach out to the former MLS player in your life and make sure that they're okay.
And you can hit them at their real estate agent line if necessary, because let's be real, that's where they all are. And just tell them that this is what ex-rookie makes this year.
Oh, man. Love you guys. Love all of you. Thanks for being a part of everything and making us love the league. And go through your list, man. You got a list?
I had a conversation last week with someone, and this one came up, and it's so perfect. When you did the march to the match in Cincinnati, and it was like Weeby was not really going on the road that much, and anytime you gave him a taste of real life, he would fall in love, and it would have to come up 13 times a show. And like, think about it. Cincinnati was the worst team in the league for the next 2+ years, but every show they got brought up, because Weeby's like, you know, the march to the match was elite this weekend. You know they're putting in the atmosphere, and it was your favorite thing that ever happened.
There's some great pictures of that, of me like walking in the middle of the march with my phone up that I get sent every now and then. And yeah, that like it was a formative moment.
The haikus. No one asked for them.
No.
A lot of people didn't want them. Correct. And you would come on to the rundown meetings and be like, hey, sorry, I just need 10 minutes. I have to finish this haiku. It's killing me. And you'd act like this outside force was making you do it. And you were so annoyed. And it was like, Weeby, just don't have the haiku and no one will be different. You had to do it though.
It was an internal force, to be fair. I loved doing those haikus. I don't know why. It just was like this creative itch.
They weren't haikus. You were just counting syllables.
Well, I don't understand haikus then. If that's not a haiku, then I don't understand haikus. I just don't know what they are. Some of them were good. Some of them were good.
They were good ones.
Some of them were not good, but that was part of the joy.
The beauty of it was pre-ChatGPT, so there was no out for you.
They were real.
Write it or be done.
That's true.
And you had to do them. Bird Dog. Legendary moment. Oh, wow. I get to still call Sam Bird Dog.
Forgot about
Bird Dog. You don't get the reference. Does it matter?
It didn't make any sense. I don't even know why we called him Bird Dog.
You did it.
Yeah, I don't know why I called him Bird Dog. Sorry for looping you in with my inanities here. Keep this going.
The halftime hit in Chicago at All-Star Game, we were on the field in front of the Real Madrid fans, so it was like 60,000 people. Me and you practiced what we were going to say 5 million times, didn't understand how echo works in a stadium, and we got done. It was like a 30-second hit, and Dunny just goes, what did you guys just take? Like, what just happened? And me and you were like, we nailed it. We had little funny line. We cut each other off. We were there. We were practiced. And Dunny was like, dude, that was chaos. And no one could understand a word you just said.
It was basically just like if you just basically on stimulants. I'm just like, wow, we just drank like 15 cups of coffee each. We were lit up. And I remember
you
actually.
Like soccer, we like soccer. ETR,
exactly,
watch it. Listen,
exactly. Ever. Exactly. Continental Tire. And I do remember the pre-show because we did like a pre-show, I think. And I want to say the Cooligans, like one of the first times Cooligans came on. And I'm pretty sure they made an inappropriate Kyle Aaron joke. And I was like, oh, we are not going to last very long doing this, are we? Yeah.
Legends. Christian and Alexis are legends. I've loved seeing them at every ML. Me and Alexis joke every time. We lived like 7 minutes apart from each other in Brooklyn. We didn't hang out a single time there. We hang out at every MLS event, eating the same sliders and chicken tenders and drinking the same free beers and then going to the same bar and doing the same thing. And my last one here is just getting roasted for Doyle's takes because people think I'm Doyle. I don't know if it's voice because the show is a podcast. So like, I don't know how it can be a voice thing. It's clearly
voice.
A look
That's
thing.
The confusion. Yeah. It's but, a voice.
But the point is some of this was pre-video versions. I have one MLS coach who had won a game that I was covering and I'm on the field post game and he just starts like hypothetically asking me questions. Oh, or is this not good enough? Like, you think that's good? Like, is winning 3-1 good if you do this? And I was like, yeah, you won the game. That all sounds good. And like midway through, I'm like, this sounds familiar. And then I like texted the group and I was like, what is this? And Doyle was like, that's what I said on the show on Thursday. And it's like, I was getting roasted on field by a current head coach who had just won and cared more about sticking it to Doyle and thought I was Doyle. I've been in so many conversations where like midway through, I realized they think I'm Doyle. And I'm like, it's easier to just leave it than to like get out of it. So then I spend 2 to 3 minutes pretending to be Matt Doyle. And it's always a pretty fun experience.
You wear it well. You wear it well.
Thank you.
I'll always say that is one thing when you go hear it from people outside of the little bubble. They always want to talk about Doyle's takes.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Always.
They're
always. I'm
takes.
Telling you.
They're well researched.
There you go. Yeah. That's right. Informed
talk
opinions.
Talk about my analysis.
Anything else? We're reaching the end here. So if you got a memory or something that popped in your brain or a bit of some sort, fire it off.
I just think thankful. This has been so much fun. It's always fun. It's fun to have a place where you know you're supported and you feel a part of something and you care about it and people care about it. So I just think last time, thanks to everyone who listened and commented and sent emails. And we had the phone call in line, which was hilarious
the
for a while.
The hot take hotline, yes.
Yeah, I think that was Abner's idea. Shout out to Abner, one of my good friends who put a ton of energy into making us feel like this show mattered and it was a big deal and it was a big platform. The hot take hotline, do you know the jingle still?
I don't.
But it was never a very good jingle.
No, you take that back. I didn't come up with the jingle. The jingle was sent to us. Remember, we had the I'm blanking on his name, but we had a guy send us multiple jingles.
We did have the guy who would send us jingles, and they were fantastic. I want to throw this out there. I don't know if I said it, but you guys are all coming on Soccerwise for the Golden Boot draft. We're going to make Anders come on as well. He has to draft his own team with voice.
Yes. Yes, I'm with you on that one. And on that note, look, extra time. TikTok is almost gone, but Soccerwise is here, and it's been a joy to be a patron, to be an MVP, to listen to your podcast with Tom, to do so on the other side in my car or doing dishes or whatever, and be like, I just want to say this so bad. I wish I could. And then texting both of you like, that's dumb. This is what you should, you know, whatever it might be. And then the Discord has been a real pleasure as well. That feels like the group chat, just with a bigger breath and way more people. So if you're not a subscriber to Soccerwise, you're not a Patreon, go do that. I think it's absolutely worth your time. And if you spent years of your life basically listening to Extra Time, that is the natural next step for you as well. All right.
Anders, you got anything?
I read something, some quote from the worst manager in the history of the Premier League, Frank de Boer.
Yeah. Empty
he
the
just
tank,
goes
baby.
Out with hate in his heart.
Empty
it's
the tank.
So perfect.
Empty the tank. Going to be a good season for Atlanta United and a fun season of MLS as well. We'll be watching. We'll be talking about it in various places. To watch, you know where to go. MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Offside, Major League Soccer premieres on February 21st. Behind the scenes, I wish we could do like after reaction watch-alongs. Maybe we will on our own time. And the season starts in Miami on February 22nd at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. So tune into that. And with that, for the final time, thank you. Adios. Oh, and Domino.
See you next time!